This is episode one of Encounter Points. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Encounter Points. I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Since you're just now meeting us, we ought to tell you a tiny bit about ourselves. I'm a practicing Catholic family guy whose practice has not yet made me perfect, and a conversationalist whose conversations aim for encounters of wisdom and whimsy.
Well, Bill, I'm a married man living here in South Bend, Indiana with my bride and dog. I've lived in the Pacific Northwest, in the Bay Area, and now here in the shadow of the Golden Dome.
Over the next nine episodes, we're going to be talking about joy. Pope Francis has made the idea of joy a core teaching of his pontificate, and we wanted to explore exactly what that might mean for each of us, and we hope for you as a listener.
We're excited to begin the conversation. We invite you to come along with us on this journey. Let's begin, shall we? Well, hey, Bill, how are you?
Very good. Very good to have you here, Ken, with me in conversation.
Absolutely. And, you know, we had talked about making our first series a conversation about joy, because joy is one of these overarching themes of the pontificate of Pope Francis, I think.
That's true.
You know, you've got joy and you've got mercy as the two kind of most important thoughts that we see in all of the conversation of Pope Francis. So
yeah.
I think let's talk about joy and kind of explore it in as much as we can.
Fair enough.
And I guess really we should begin by saying, okay, when we say joy, what are we even talking about? What is joy?
I know it's a not very well explained or explored subject, I think, especially in today's popular culture, which probably has lost sight of a lot of joy. But it's so essential, and it's different, I think, a bit from happiness or from wit or from jolliness. It's a complicated delight of the mind is one definition that I've seen, and it's certainly a tool of evangelization is what I would call it, and hence one reason to be talking about it among Catholics.
Well, I think you're right. The church itself, actually, you know, the church talks a lot about joy. We actually see one of the big documents, you know, one of the most important documents of the Second Vatican Council includes joy right in the title, Gaudium et Spes,
right.
You know, from 1965, the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World is titled The Joys and Hopes. And it's from the very opening sentence, the joys and hopes of all people are the joys and hopes of the church is ultimately what it comes down to.
Isn't that great? We're allies in the search for joy.
Exactly. I mean, you know, not just, and it's the joys and sorrows, and all of this, pointing out that the church and the members of the church are members of the human race.
That's
and
right.
So we see joy in this title. And then, you know, Pope Francis, in one of his early apostolic exhortations on his exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, again, using the word joy,
right,
on the joy of the gospel, the apostolic exhortation on the proclamation of the gospel in today's world from 2013, you know, at the very end of his first year as Pope, he writes this document on the joy of the gospel, in which really, and this was the animating document that we used, that the bishops of America used in the convocation of Catholic leaders.
I noticed that, yes, that was very significant. Yes, and from all I could gather about that convocation, there was a lot of joy both brought there and generated there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was there and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Oh, you know, that's great.
And notice that word, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
You know? Right, that's a good word.
And then, of course, last year we had the Holy Father's post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love, on love in the family from 2016. And so, you know, And this is an interesting one, because here now, if you think about it, we had the word Gaudium used, both Gaudium et Spes in the Second Vatican Council,
right,
and that's translated joy. We have Evangelii Gaudium, again, the joy of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So Gaudium used a second time. But then this document this last year was Amoris Laetitia, which the word Laetitia, L-A-E-T-I-A, also gets translated joy, but it's a different word. Ah. And so I was interested in looking up and finding out, well, what is the difference between Gaudium versus Laetitia? Because even though we in English use the same word, we know that often, there is a difference. And it turns out the word Gaudium is the concept of internal joy or gladness.
Huh.
Versus Laetitia is what they call manifest joy, or rejoicing in a way that is obvious to the people around you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So if we draw that conclusion, Gaudium et Spes, the hopes, the gladness and the hope of people is the same gladness and hope of the church. Versus Amoris Laetitia,
uh-huh,
the rejoicing of love, because what is love, but it is something that is expressed to others in the context of community, especially in a married or family life
situation. Very interesting.
So, mm-hmm. So I think there's some intention in choosing those particular words, Gaudium versus Laetitia, in the church's mind, I think.
And I love that example of the complexity of the word joy, that sometimes it's hidden and sometimes it's very explicit and bawdy and gaudy and kind of nice, just fun. Whereas Franciscan joy, for instance, which I know a little bit about from being a professed secular Franciscan, Francis taught that joy was something that you could and should feel at times when things were not necessarily going very well on the outside for you, but it's still nonetheless very real on the inside.
It would be really interesting to see which word, when they're writing that in Latin, which word for Franciscan joy do they choose, Gaudium or Laetitia?
Yes, yeah. I've certainly read the secular Franciscan rule, but not in Latin. So that one's got me stumped so far.
Well, of course. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Well, even in the church, we use both of these words in a liturgical setting as well. We have in Advent, the third Sunday of Advent, that Sunday when we have the pink candle or the rose-colored candle,
right,
that's actually called Gaudete Sunday.
Right,
again,
right,
the word Gaudium.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the opening words, what's called the introit of the Mass, the opening verse. And we hear it in the readings as well. From Isaiah 61 that Sunday, we always hear, "Rejoice heartily in the Lord."
Yeah.
In the responsorial psalm, we say, "My soul rejoices in my God."
And yeah.
We recite the Magnificat, the Canticle of Mary from the Gospel of Luke.
That's right.
And then we hear it also in the first reading, or in the second reading, 1 Thessalonians verse 5, St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he says, begins, "Rejoice always, my brothers and sisters. Rejoice always." So
again, I
it's
say
very
rejoice.
Much joy. Again,
yeah.
Exactly right. And then the gospel that Sunday, and we'll come back to this. The gospel that Sunday is the story of the John the Baptist being the voice crying in the wilderness.
Mm.
And this is important because, of course, on this particular Sunday in our Advent journey, we switch from hearing the stories of the kind of the second coming of Christ, because Advent is a season where we remember that Christ will come again.
That's right.
And in the third Sunday, since there are only four Sundays in Advent, on the third Sunday, we switch to say, okay, let's talk about when he came and became incarnate the first time. And so this is the Sunday where we hear the forerunner of the Lord, John the Baptist.
Mm.
So this Sunday, again, we refer to as Gaudete, Rejoice Sunday.
That's neat.
And then in Lent, the other major penitential season. Right. We have another Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, is called Laetare Sunday. So again, this other word, the Laetare meaning the manifest joy or the joy that is expressed externally. And this is particularly in some ways chosen because the season of Lent is 6 weeks long. Mm-hmm. And that is a long time to be reflecting on our sins and, you know, kind of in this penitential season. So the church, in her wisdom, gives us this Sunday to remind us, don't worry, we're going to be rejoicing soon at the resurrection.
That's wonderful. Again, the church is being merciful toward us humans.
Exactly right.
Yes.
The Catholic Encyclopedia says, strictly speaking, the Thursday before Laetare Sunday is the middle of Lent. But these are special signs of joy are permitted on this Sunday, intended to encourage the faithful in their course through the season of penance. And they consist of the use of flowers on the altar, the organ at Mass and Vespers, because often Lent is meant to be a more solemn time, and often it'll be plain chant. In the traditional rite, it would be unaccompanied plain chant, no organ or elaborate music. And then the rose-colored vestments we use this week instead of the purple. So, and as they say, the contrast between Laetare and the other Sundays is thus emphasized and is emblematical of the joys of this life, restrained rejoicing mingled with a certain amount of sadness. And that's from the Catholic Encyclopedia, the 1912 version.
I like that. And again, you're right. I think good joy is often intermingled and intermixed, not only in these liturgical seasons, but in everybody's everyday life, practically.
Oh,
it's a very fascinating, well, I would say emotion. It's more than that. It's a phenomenon of our hearts and minds.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's this internal gladness.
Right.
With sometimes an external witness to it or a manifest external expression.
I like that. Yeah, the word witness is a nice reference again to the evangelical or evangelization potential of joy.
And joy and love are actually related too.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, St. Thomas Aquinas has a lot to say about that. He speaks about joy is caused by love. So, and the reason why this comes to mind is, you know, that old hippy dippy song, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Oh, yes.
Which is obviously an external expression, right? The love that we show towards one another is attractive to people.
Right.
And so is joy, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that is said so often that I hear so often about Pope Francis is people are delighted by him, by his smile.
Yes.
You know? And so it is attractive to people, especially those who maybe don't have a moment of joy in their life. And they see somebody smiling, it's kind of like a yawn sometimes, right? It's contagious.
Right.
So St. Thomas talks about, he says, joy is caused by love, quote, either through the presence of the thing loved or because the proper good of the thing loved exists and endures in it. In other words, I'm excited either because I'm in your presence, Bill, or because I see good things happening for you. And because I love you, I am filled with joy by that fact.
That's neat. Yes. So it really is not just about us. It's not about me, as they say. Joy can be and should be about multiple things, multiple people, the whole social experience, the whole human experience.
Yeah. Multiple entry points.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you mentioned earlier, you know, when we kind of started talking, you mentioned it's joy is different than just pure happiness.
Yes.
And is different than an expression. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that interests me a lot, partly because I've read a few books about happiness as a key to understanding the culture and how people are seeking happiness and thereby shaping the culture in different ways. But I've come to think that happiness is a little bit more of a strategic phenomenon. It kind of points us in a kind of strategic direction. What is our desire for our life, or what are our sets of desires for our life? Whereas joy strikes me as beyond strategic. It's more mysterious. It's more sudden and spontaneous and explosive in a good way. So people are likely to get caught up in seeing our joy. And as you say, you know, they'll say, oh, whatever he's got, that's what I want, because he's witnessing to joy. Happiness, I've heard it described as four levels of happiness that mankind pursues. And that will definitely show itself on a daily basis in one's life, what levels of happiness one is pursuing. But joy, that can grab people suddenly and spontaneously and just amaze people and delight people. And so it's good to aim high in happiness and to be very free and spontaneous in joy, I'd say.
Well, that's good. The thought of spontaneity, reacting to what you see, reacting to the experience, being in the moment.
Right.
I think.
Yes, that's a very Catholic idea, to be in the moment, but also to be in the broader timeless context.
Well, and, you know, again, St. Thomas actually has a couple of things. He points out that joy is one of those things that can only actually, we can only take joy in those things that are in accordance with our human nature.
Yeah. And
what he means by this is that he says we take delight both in those things which we desire naturally. So, for example, we desire the love of our spouse.
Right.
We desire a delicious cup of wine or a lovely cup of coffee or a nice steak or whatever it might be.
Right.
These things can bring us joy, but only because they are things that are natural and proper to us as rational animals.
Right. Yeah.
And so those things and then he says, but we do not speak of joy except when that delight follows reason. So for example, and this is, I guess, a terrible example, but, you know, a person who takes another by force, maybe, you know, people shouldn't rejoice when they murder another.
Right. Right.
They may, we would, you know, rational people would say somebody who really gets excited by that is somebody who is not sane.
Right.
Know, is not normal. That is not joy. That is an animalistic response.
Yeah.
It is less than human.
Yes.
And so joy is those things that are in accordance with our human nature.
I like that.
And so, yeah, as you so perfectly pointed out at the very beginning of the conversation, it's not that joy is a head thing, but it can and often does involve our reason.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
mind and heart, truly. Mm-hmm.
Peter Kraft, the great philosopher from Boston, says that joy is actually more than happiness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just as happiness is more than pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure is in the body.
Right.
Happiness is in the mind and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is deep in the heart, the spirit, the center of the self.
Oh, my. I like that.
I'll put a link on the show notes to, he has a whole beautiful essay on joy and living with joy.
Gee.
And and that quotation comes directly from that essay, which I thought was really quite useful.
Actually. Very neat.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's kind of a thought a bit about happiness, about what joy is, where we experience joy in our liturgy and our lived experience within the church. But what about other aspects of joy? What, you know, the things that are not necessarily God related? How do we have those joyful moments? How do we bring joyful moments to people who maybe aren't open to these experiences of faith? How do we share and let our joy bubble up and expand beyond the walls of the church?
Well, just as love generates joy, joy should generate love, or at least acts of love. And I think when one is joyful, it's easier to act in a charitable fashion, in a merciful fashion, in all of the Christian virtuous ways that we know we should be living through the Beatitudes, but also for the sake of evangelizing other people and reinforcing our own joy. They all go together, I think.
I think you're right. It's in the Catechism we actually read that joy is an aspect of being created beings in proper order with the Creator, in proper, in our proper relationship. And this is kind of, you know, in some ways an echo of what St. Thomas was talking about, right? You know, we only experience joy when we are, we experience joy in those moments that are in accordance with reason, with right reason.
Yeah.
And so in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, paragraph 301 speaks of joy in the context of God upholding and sustaining creation. It says, with creation, God does not abandon his creatures to themselves. He not only gives them being and existence, but also, and at every moment, upholds and sustains them in being, enables them to act, and brings them to their final end. Recognizing this utter dependence with respect to the Creator is a source of wisdom and freedom, of joy and confidence. And this is, within the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the first mention of the word joy in the book.
Ah, very interesting.
And it is in relation, again, to us being created beings. And why were we created? But we were created to share in the happiness of God.
Yes.
And this happiness is an expression of God's joy.
Yes. And again, it's a kind of, it's that reciprocity of love leading to joy and joy leading to love. You're making me think of the Liturgy of the Hours. Some of my favorite passages from the morning prayer include, that great canticle where it says, thunder and lightning, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Day and night, praise the Lord. To me, that's kind of a hymn of joy. And it's obviously caused by this the writer's awareness of God's love. But then immediately, the author wants to return that yes. love to God.
Yes.
So it's a really neat reciprocity.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that particular canticle is the canticle or the prayer of the three young men in the furnace
from
Daniel.
Wow.
And it's, you know, yeah, they mention this, you know, lightning and thunder, bless the Lord, all you creatures,
right.
bless the
yes.
Lord. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael,
that's
bless
right.
the Lord.
Yes.
And where does it come in the context of? But them in the midst of the fiery
Isn't
furnace.
That
they
great?
Are being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Or at least Nebuchadnezzar is trying to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are protected by God's angel.
Yeah.
And they are giving praise to the Lord. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's mm-hmm. beautiful. I love it.
Yes.
There's another spot, actually, in the Catechism where they speak about joy. And I promised you earlier that when I was mentioning the gospel passage for Gaudete Sunday in Advent
right.
mentions the forerunner of the Lord, John the Baptist.
Right.
And the second mention of joy in the Catechism of the Catholic Church comes in paragraph 523, in which John the Baptist, the forerunner, is talked about. And it says, St. John the Baptist is the Lord's immediate precursor or forerunner sent to prepare his way. It says, he inaugurates the gospel already from his mother's womb, welcoming the coming of Christ, and rejoices in being the friend of the bridegroom. And remember, how does John the Baptist rejoice in the womb? But he leaps for joy.
That's
right. It says, as Elizabeth says, the minute I heard your greeting to reach my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy.
Yes.
You know, kind of a dance.
And talk about how joy is so deeply rooted in our human nature. There's an example of joy occurring right in the womb before John the Baptist is even born.
That's right.
He's leaping for joy. Joy is innate to him, and of course, innate to the situation.
Absolutely. I like that you use the word innate because, of course, it refers to, you know, the natal, Ooh. Neonatal, right there.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness. That was accidental, but thank you. Yes.
That's good. Pope Francis ends his first encyclical that he wrote was actually a joint effort. And it was one because it had been started by Pope Benedict and it was finished by Pope Francis. And it was called Lumen Fidei, or the Light of Faith. Mm-hmm. And he ends with this prayer to Our Lady. And see if you can figure out why I'm including this as in our grand survey. You ready?
All right.
It begins, Mother, help our faith. Open our ears to hear God's word and to recognize his voice and call. Awaken in us a desire to follow in his footsteps, to go forth from our own land and to receive his promise. Help us to be touched by his love that we may touch him in faith. Help us to entrust ourselves fully to him and to believe in his love, especially at times of trial, beneath the shadow of the cross, when our faith is called to mature. So in our faith, the joy of the risen one. Remind us that those who believe are never alone. Teach us to see all things with the eyes of Jesus, that he may be light for our path, and may this light of faith always increase in us until the dawn of that undying day, which is Christ himself, your Son, our Lord.
That's marvelous.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's the prayer of Pope Francis, encouraging us to hear, to be open to God's word, to rejoice in the resurrection, and to hope in the second coming, but also to go forth from our own land and to proclaim the gospel wherever we go.
Yes. And proclaiming the gospel, which of course is the good news.
The good news.
Right?
Exactly.
And if you're proclaiming the gospel and not showing joy, that doesn't make too much sense, come to think of it. And it really does mean that it's news to be proclaimed beyond the doors of any particular church building, and certainly right straight through to the margins of the world. And that's where sometimes the joy is needed most of all.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, do we have any other thoughts on joy that we need to share?
Our popular culture and TV offer very little true joy, at least. And a lot of it is built on fear, which is kind of a joy killer. So we need to really not only be careful of the joy killers in our society and in our culture, but when we think about bringing joy to others, think about bringing joy back into the culture as well.
Absolutely. We need to be a joyful people and share the gift of joy that we have received, the joy of the risen one, as Pope Francis reminds us.
Amen. So, right.
Well, until we gather again next week, I think that's a good kind of thing to remember, is that we are a joyful people.
You bet. Amen.
Well, we'll see you next week, Bill.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. It was enjoyable. Thank you for listening to this inaugural episode. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.